What's good? What's good? What's good? It's me and Chaz in the building. Check this out. Your New Orleans Pelicans won 129-93. You know what I'm saying? We about to get into it in a lot more.
This podcast is presented by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Birdsall Law Firm is a family practice that has been a staple in the greater New Orleans area since 1963. Specializing in automobile accidents and slip and falls for the past 60 years, you can trust the Birdsall Law Firm to handle your claim professionally while treating you like family in the process. The Birdsall Law Firm is located at 918 Poydras Street near the Superdome. Give them a call today at 504-523-5413 or message them on Instagram if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. Be sure to mention Boot Crew Media sent you to get your free consultation today. Once again, you can reach them at 504-523-5413. 523-5413.
Yeah. Everything that boy Justin just said. Shout out to Ross. Ross in the building. Justin gave us the keys to the Rover truck. You know what I'm saying? So we in here. You know what I'm saying?
He never should have done that.
This is about to be crazy. If y'all looking for anything profound tonight, I got nothing for you. We're gonna talk hella shit and we gonna have fun with this. Guys, the Pelicans be a good team tonight. Like, they beat a team that a lot of people thought maybe we wouldn't win this game. What's up, man? I guess give me your first thoughts about the game.
Go ahead, Chaz.
Oh, I had this penciled in as a dub.
Me too.
Kings. For the Pels?
Yeah, for the Pels. I had the last three dubs penciled in. I think, again, small team. They played through their advantage creators early. The thing that really that I was really happy about is that they got some bonus and what's my man Fox and foul trouble early. Yeah. JV one-on-one against the bonus. I trust that matchup. I thought Zion had a great second quarter. Brandon had an amazing third quarter. I felt like the team never took their foot off the gas. The thing about the Kings is they're not a tall team or a super strong team necessarily, but they're fast and they're efficient like a bunch of ninjas. So they didn't give them a ton of second chance opportunities. And hey, second night of a back-to-back game, the best way to kind of neutralize a fast team is get them on tired legs. You didn't play with your food tonight. You came out, got the dub. Yeah,
no doubt. Ross, what you think, man?
No, same thing. Look, I'm sure a Kings fan would call me a hater. Like, I'm just not a huge believer in this. Like, this Kings team does not scare me. Like, not one bit. When we're healthy, I find there are teams that are maybe worse than us on paper that are a worse matchup than, like, the Kings. Some people might think are better than us, right? Obviously, they're better than you last year, off to a really good start, whatever they were, 8-4, whatever the hell they are coming into tonight. I don't find them to be, when we're remotely healthy, really, really, when you've got Zion, B.I., and JV all fully healthy, like, I just don't think they're that tough of a matchup for us, especially with the lineup that we're running out there right now with Dyson and Herbs, because you can give Fox kind of the defensive attention that he, you know, requires. And for me, if you can slow him down, that the whole train kind of gets off the rails a little bit for them. So the Kings are not a team that scare me too much. And I think, Chaz just said it best. We didn't play with our food tonight. I think you once that ball got rolling down the hill, we just kept running. There was no foot off the gas. There was no, hey, we got a lead at halftime, come out in the third quarter, kind of sloppy. I thought we played a complete game.
Real. Chaz said Zion played great. You said second quarter?
I thought it's all night defensively. I thought he was excellent. I thought he set him and Herb and Dyson. I thought they really set the tone on the defensive end. That might be the best defensive game I've probably ever seen Zion play. Now, I would like to see that same intensity against a team with some fresh legs. I mean, well, fuck, Zion ain't got no fresh legs neither. But I would like to see that same defensive intensity against a team that's not on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, if you're capable of doing that, do that all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I thought he had a great night in total.
And look, one thing I want to call out, because I know at least I have, Chaz, you have too, have been really critical of, one, the amount of three-pointers Brandon Ingram doesn't take. I guess the amount he, we're critical of the amount he takes. We wish he would take more. And then the efficiency at which he shoots them, 5 of 5 tonight. I don't know if he's ever, I don't know if he's made 5 three-pointers in a game since he's been in New Orleans. So kudos to him for, one, getting those shots up, and two, you know, for knocking them down tonight. So, I mean, we're going to be tough to beat anytime we shoot 40%+ from three. And he was kind of a catalyst, which is, you know, not something we've really been able to say about Brandon, a catalyst from behind the 3-point arc.
Five for five from three is crazy. Like, you, like, Wendy's gives you 5 for 5. If he making threes like that, yo, like, I'm really proud of Slim. He really, I don't know, whatever meeting took place post that game where Zion made those comments, then Brandon made those comments. It really feels like that team meeting that they had and then them practicing together, it really seems to have made something between those two. Go ahead, Russ.
No, I said they were joyful and compassionate.
That shit is whack.
And whatever the other thing was tonight.
That shit is whack.
Mindful. I'm sorry. Yeah, they were mindful and joyful and compassionate tonight. So,
yo, my third grade teacher could have made that shit. I think Brandon had an overall good game, of course. 31 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 for 5 from three. But I think he did a good job playing through contact. He's been doing that the past couple of games. Normally, the initial contact happens and either the shot isn't there and he kind of either will just take the tough midi. But like tonight and for the past couple of nights, he's been just getting through the contact. Chaz, what you seeing different from Brandon?
I think, again, far as it's 2 ways to win in the regular season, man. You got to shoot threes and you got to, you know, attack the rim and or get to the line. You know what I'm saying? I still need to see. I saw it even last game. I did see some of it last game. I think he went like maybe 5 from 6 from the free throw line or something like that. I think that's a solid number personally. I thought he played well last game. I really want to see these dudes carry over the energy against like teams that are like have fresh legs. That's what I really want to see. Like, I did a show earlier today and I was like, look, you go 3 for 7 over this 10 game stretch. To me, that's a successful 10 game stretch, considering all the things this team has been through already early in the season. And this is a tough stretch in the schedule. I really just think, hold on. This is a paying customer. Hold on real quick now.
Shout out to D-Boy, man. Yo, appreciate
y'all
you.
Talk. Wait, I'm going to say this because I wasn't going to say it, but hey, the man, be mad at him. He gave us the money. Motherfucker just went 1 for 6. Motherfucker just went 1 for 6 a couple times. So, hey, 5 for 5 is awesome. I take that. But I don't anticipate him shooting like that again. He don't have to. If you get into the line, get into the free throw line, playing with pace. To me, the biggest issue with this team is effort and pace. Battling on the boards. Cody Zeller gave great minutes. JV was awesome. The front court in general tonight, the front court was just excellent across the board, in my opinion.
Hold on, Ross, before you say that, I just want to say this. Between the big two, Zion and Brandon, you only had 2 turnovers.
Mm.
So I think that really played a big role tonight. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say it because we look, and I know Chaz gets more of this heat than I do, but we've both been, I think, similarly critical of Brandon. But it, like, guys can play well and play poorly. Look at what he did tonight: 18 shots, 5 from three. 13 of those shots were inside the arc. A lot of those were playing with pace, going downhill, getting to the rim. If he's like, you've got to understand why that people have been critical of him to then come back and say things like that, right? Because if he was playing this way all the time, there might be a different narrative, at least in my head. But I want to go back to one of those comments that, you know, I pulled up a second ago, where this for me, because I found myself toward the fourth quarter saying to myself, like, damn, are we good? Like, because you have to ask yourself that, because there's some night it's just so, it's the frustration with this team, right? There's two things: you're inconsistent or you're injured. Okay, and that's really been the story from going back 2-3 years now. And it's crazy because you get nights like tonight where you really see the nucleus of a team that, with continued improvement and with a style of play, that if they can get more consistent and show up with that energy every night, maybe there's something here. Like, maybe you're talking about a team that can make a little playoff run. Maybe you're talking about just a different future, right? Than what maybe we're, and for me, that's the one thing. I mean, obviously health. I mean, Lito, you've been saying that health as well for shit a year now, but outside of health, it's just consistency and maturity and energy. Like, if you can bring that level of energy every night, you know what? I don't want to say the sky's the limit, but like, the floor goes drastically up. I
would say, I'm sorry, go ahead, Lito.
No, go ahead.
I would say, like, even if you having a game like let's say the next time you play the Kings, Brandon doesn't go 5-for-5 or Zion doesn't have the run he had in the second quarter, your energy and your effort, much like the three ball, is the great equalizer. As long as you playing with energy and effort, you have a puncher's chance every night. Like, I think De'Aaron Fox, this man playing like an MVP all season, including last game. He coming tonight, and he's like, what, 5-for-18, something crazy. So you got to know that they're going to be pissed off going into next game. But if you keep the same energy and effort that you had the last, shit, I want to say 3 or 4 games, you at least give you a chance, an opportunity to, you know, be in the running to win. You know what I'm saying? You at least have your chance, opportunity. But, yeah, make sure y'all hit the like button, man. Share the live. You know what I'm saying? Hit that bell notification for sure.
No doubt, man. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all pulling up. Make sure you hit the like button. In the words of the bill collector, it helps the channel out a lot. So listen, peep this. The Pelicans had 10 turnovers in total tonight, right? Bro, 10 turnovers, 38 assists, and this is the most important part to me, 55 rebounds as opposed to 36 for Sacramento. When you get those kind of collective, when you get in that kind of groove, you get those kind of collective numbers, they are hard out. That's a hard team to beat, dog. Ain't really a question, but go ahead.
No, I agree that really, because, you know, look, we've watched so many games, and we come in here and we do these post-game shows and everything, and there are just some numbers that seem to stick out every time you win, and there's some numbers that stick out every time you lose. When we don't hit that 50 rebound threshold, probably looking at a loss, right? When that turnover number gets up in the high teens, probably looking at a loss. As opposed to when you're looking at wins, how often did we turn? I hate to be like coach speak or, you know, just a box score reader, but it's just so true. Like, when we shoot 40% from three, kind of tough to beat. Like, when we get 8 steals a night, like, probably gonna win that game. And so, it holds true. Some of those basketball isms, like, you just don't turn the fucking ball over, like, you're probably gonna win. I hate this, you know, it's easier said than done, but it's just true, man. Like, if you're not turning it over, you're probably gonna win, even if you don't shoot that great. You're just not giving the other team, it's the NBA, 10 points matters, 12 points matters, 9 points, you know, like, if you're not giving the other team those 8, 10, 12 free buckets off of dumb turnovers, bad shots that turn into leakouts, like, probably gonna win the damn game.
Yo, listen, Chaz, I wanna talk about this because this is important. You said the front court earlier. I want to give them their flowers. My dog JV was on triple-double watch. I mean, excuse me. He was on triple-double watch tonight. He needed 3 more assists. But all in all, 10 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Check this out, though. The man, again, had 3 blocks. That is, if my math is correct, is 22 blocks this month for Jonas. I'm calling him Father Time. Cody Zeller is Father Time. That man, he an all-star reserve. I'm obviously not being serious, but like, he was fucking, bro. Cody Zeller was hooping. I don't know where this came from. I have to apologize to his game in totality because I literally was not excited about him being here. I just thought he was a body to sit on a bench. But if he The one thing about Cody Zeller is there's a fucking offensive rebound. He gonna go get it. I have no idea how he gets to some of these offensive boards, but go ahead and talk about the front court.
I thought Cody Zeller had a really good couple weeks, actually. Like a really good couple weeks as far as just do what we asking you to do, man. You the junk man, you go out there, you know what I'm saying? Be the glue guy, be the energy guy. You know what I'm saying? Got some of the, you know, I hate to keep using this term, got fresh legs. Go ahead and just, you know, do what we asking you to do. As far as the front court, I thought JV playing like, again, top five offensive big in the game. Like, you know, top five offensive big. I would like to see them continue to play to the team's strengths. I think when you start off the game, it's like, to me, to use a boxing analogy, it's like when you fighting, you know, a guy and you just skill setting him, or you boxing the sweet science, you know what I'm saying? You going to the body pause, you jabbing or whatever. And I think that's what they do when they playing to their advantages. You getting the guys in foul trouble. Then now these dudes is tired, they in foul trouble, you know what I'm saying? Zion coming at you fucking 50 miles an hour, JV throwing elbows, putting you in the chicken wing, doing his thing. I really think you playing to this team's advantage, and I hope that they just continue to do that even when the playing fields are a little more even. I just hope they continue to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've kind of thought about this more, and I wish Chris Connor was on because I just think he would probably be able to shed, you know, just give us a funny opinion, if nothing else, that I've noticed JV's blocks too, and I just can't help but think that when we went to this Dyson Herb, so Herb came back, obviously Dyson jumped into the starting lineup. I'm pretty sure JV, I think, has 10 blocks in those four games. And I just can't help but think that it's got a lot to do with the effort and the kind of the defensive prowess of Dyson and Herb and how much they do at the point of attack, right? If a guy's driving, right, and you've got a defender that's doing a pretty good job staying between you and the basket and is doing his job on the front end, it makes it a lot easier, like, to pick up some cheap blocks, right? And I call them cheap blocks, but to get some help side blocks. It makes everybody's life easier with those two guys playing defense the way they play. It really does. And I think you saw that tonight, holding them to whatever the hell what was the final, 93 points. I don't want to undersell what those two players are doing defensively. And it's going to create some questions.
Yeah, We're going to have it tonight. We're going to have the conversation tonight. Hold on. But wait, before you say that, I want to say this because you said you were talking about Jonas and his blocks. The thing is, in Jonas's career, he's never played with a defender like Herb, and he's also never played with a defender like Dyson. Those guys are mirror images of each other. They kind of do the same thing, but they kind of do different things. Like, Herb gets more blocks than Dyson, but Dyson is probably – like, Dyson gets more deflections than Herb. Herb gets more steals than Dyson. The thing is, they attack pick and rolls. Bro, they so switchable to where when JV's in drop, doesn't really get it takes away JV's negative as far as his foot speed. You know, go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. And you keep going on that point. There's some shit about the Pelicans that still pissed me off. This is exactly why I hated what we did against the Timberwolves. This is why I hated it. Mm-hmm. You went with this lineup. You looked great against the Mavs, right? You went with the same lineup. You looked really good against the Nuggets. You went with this lineup tonight. You looked really good again. You've got there's a chance to build something. There's momentum. And that's why I hate fucking forfeiting game. Like, not forfeiting. They still should have won the Timberwolves game, but you've got momentum built. You've got a lineup that clearly seems to have chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to go back. Let's not go backward to the Timberwolves game. I just felt like I had to say it because it just pisses me off because you've now seen three out of four games that you might have something here. Like, you've got a healthy group that seems to have chemistry, that plays really well together, that their strengths complement each other, which is a rare thing to say sometimes with our lineups. Like,
yeah.
And so I just want to see more of it, I guess. Listen, sorry, continue.
Nah, you good. Listen, I'm gonna land my plane right here. I just want to give league leaders in block shot percentage. Jonas is in the 86th percentile, and I'm just going to tell you all the guys in front of him, they are known shot blockers. Nick Claxton, Brooke Lopez, Jonathan Isaac, who's playing incredible, AD, Wimbiana, Walker Kessler, Gafford, Nick Richard, Rudy Gobert, Chet Holmgren, fucking Jonas. Like, it's crazy the amount of ground defensively Jonas has carved out for the Pelicans underneath the rim. And it's not even about, like, he's getting a lot of blocks, but the thing is sometimes just the way that he's been able to change shots at the rim is something you have not seen from him this year. But listen, man, Ross wanted to get controversial, Chaz, so fuck it. Let's go there. Take me out. You've been starting Dyson, and you've been starting Herb, and they've right. been looking fucking incredible, right?
Right.
You got a guy in CJ who's coming back. You got a guy in Trey who's coming back. What do you do? What is the answer there? Who do you take out of the lineup?
Both of them. Both of them. You get them both the fuck out of here. Because, no, look, man, I try to keep things in perspective. I really do, bro. Like, look, look. He just lost 5 games in a row. So I think with now the problem, I think it's a bigger question. If Zion continues to not rebound defensively, and if Trey doesn't rebound, but I also don't think it's fair to Trey to put him back into the starting lineup immediately. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's fair to him. So I would go ahead and, you know, get Dyson, sit Dyson down. I think CJ is a decent enough rebounder to supplement some of that. Of course, he's nowhere near the defender, but I think that's where your wings have to chip in. And rebound, you know, Zion got to be more active on the defensive boards, Brandon as well. You got to continue to do the things. You got to get up for every team the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get up for every team the same way. I think, is this the, it might just be one. Again, you play the team on a back-to-back, you got to show up the same way every night. That's how you craft the identity. That's how you form the identity. So, if they, you know, if a game from now, 2 games from now, you know, the shots aren't falling, and then we say, well, shit, you know, Zion and Brandon don't have enough space to operate. They didn't play through JV again. They took a lot of bad shots. Then we're going to be having a conversation about, oh, I can't wait till Trey get back because you got to get one of them out the lineup of CJ. It's an Ouroboros as far as like it's a snake. It's a circular issue that you're going to keep seeing. That's why I don't get too high or too low with these games.
Oh, you know? This fucking guy here, man, with the SAT words, man. God damn, man.
That's impressive.
Yo,
look,
wow.
Look, I want to jump in because everybody gets so caught up in this, like, the starting thing. And I agree. Like, it's obviously about who starts. Because that's what people pay attention to and people think of with a different kind of connotation than coming off the bench. To a certain extent, I don't give a fuck who starts. It's more for me about this lineup works and I want to see more of it because it's the NBA. Everything gets staggered. Yeah, but CJ's going to start the damn game. But we don't even need to sit here and debate this. CJ ain't coming off the bench, whether somebody wants, it don't matter. There's no point. He doesn't need to come off the bench. The point is, you stagger minutes such that you see more of this five-man group together because I think we all agree it makes a lot of sense for CJ to run a second unit.
Yeah.
Like, that makes a lot of sense. And so I think what's important is that understanding what lineups work together and the more useful players we have healthy at once, obviously the more you get to see, but yeah, I mean, if I'm sitting here and I'm saying these five dudes clearly work well together and they complement each other, well, that gives you a whole hell of a lot of options in terms of roster flexibility, lineup flexibility, being able to match up to what a team is trying to do. And just if you want to think about it in very plain black and white, okay, if this five-man unit is one really good unit and maybe they play a good chunk of the first quarter and part of the second quarter, well, how much more dangerous do we become with when you're able to stagger minutes and then, you know, you're the unit off of this looks like, you know, CJ, Trey, and Zion, right? And so there's just a million things you can do, I think, with being able to overlay a unit like this, because JV can't play with everyone. Like, yeah. I know we say he can and everything, but like JV and Zion units, like they just can't, you can't just have anybody else out there. Like it. And so I think with Zion being, and, you know, and even BI being kind of the center of what we're trying to do, those two players, what, who, you know, who can we put around them that mask their deficiencies and bring out their best qualities? I think you've now found a little bit of that. So whether they start or they don't start, I don't give a shit. The point is that I think you've now found some players around those two guys specifically that, again, bring out their best qualities and hide some of their deficiencies.
Before we go on, I got to address this comment, because, like, I'm cool if people have – they want to put CJ on the bench. I understand that you think he takes – high volume number of shots. I get the ideology behind it, and I see the comment section, but we don't gotta lie, dog. What? He not that good, bro. Hey, man, I wish I could pull you up so you could talk. Dog, you talking about a motherfucker who averaged 20 points a game at 6'3" in his fucking career. He's non-athletic. He's just crafty. Come on, stop. No. Stop, bro. Stop, bro. Give me a better line.
It's crazy. That's why, bro, it'd be so hard to take some of the, like, the shit, like, even take it in consideration the way you respond. Because, bro, do you know before this season, CJ had scored, like, an astounding, like, 7,000 more. No, was it? It was five. Like 5,000 more points than Brandon. And I can only imagine how many more points he scored than fucking Zion. If you saw CJ at the top of this season, CJ looked like one of the fucking best offensive guards in the league, and he was playing good defense. What the fuck?
And what was like barely turning, I think for however many games he's played this year, I think CJ's like barely turned over once a game. If you got a computer in front of you, pull that up. I'm telling you, CJ was really playing well.
But then the man played two games. Two of his worst games came with the fucked up ribs. Like, what do people be talking about, cuz? I don't know, bro. It's man.
I'm trying to see what Ross was saying about the turnovers. Y'all keep going.
It was way down. Look, I want to go back to that thing about us not, like, because it fucking grinds my gears. Us not playing the whole unit. Against the Timberwolves, right? So you've won 3 of 4. King's going to be pissed off, kind of the same way we were, you know, Dallas on the second night of that, you know, 2-in-a-row thing. Yeah. I think that it's easier when you have to do this at home, right? So Dallas was here twice, and obviously the Kings are here twice. Do you think it matters at all going into the next game, Chaz? Or do you think we're just looking at a totally different Kings team because they won't be on a back-to-back? They obviously have, I think, with the next, yeah, it's Wednesday, right? It's not tomorrow. Yeah, it's not a true bet. Yeah, yeah. So it's Wednesdays. I mean, what I don't want to say give me a prediction, but I mean, it seems like, you know, you got this one, and then we go straight to the Clippers, man. Which you kind of don't know what you're going to get there. And then, well, we got two against the Jazz, right? So you're kind of in the same position.
Yeah. I think, as far as the Kings game, yo, I ain't going to lie. I saw some shit tonight I don't think I'll ever see again from the Pelicans. And then that's why I'm kind of like, hey, you take the win. But I don't know if, man, I don't know if some of the stuff is repeatable. Like, for as great as Coley Zeller's effort was, man, Darren Fox was shooting like 40-something% from the three going into this game tonight. I think you see those guys rebound after a night off, and it was a blowout victory. So Ryan might get
like that.
It was a blowout victory. So I think they have fresh legs. I'm sure they're gonna game plan and take guys, send doubles a little earlier, take guys out of the game a little earlier. I think it's a toss-up because the Pelicans still have the size advantage from like the JV and wing standpoint and the strength advantage. So I do think it's a toss-up. I'm gonna say the Kings win that game. And man, I think the Jazz just an awful matchup for the Pelicans, but I hate playing the fucking Jazz. I think maybe they split that one, but man,
no Kessler helps. I think no Kessler helps.
Oh, Kessler's down right now.
Yeah, he's been out for the last few weeks. He's got a left elbow thing, so I think that makes it easier because those type of guys seem to make Zion's life a little tougher. They're to turn at the rim. Brandon has to pull up for more mid range shots. Zion seems to struggle a little bit with, you know, true rim protectors that they kind of are always hovering around the paint, which they are with us with JD. Yeah. So I think them not having, I mean, I think they've been starting John Collins at center. That should be just a field day. So they're a different team, but I normally do agree with you. The Jazz have been a real shitty matchup for us over the last, especially the last year.
Yeah.
I see some questions in the chat. I'm trying to pull them up as we get through them. But at the meantime, like, comment, subscribe, make sure y'all hit the like button. We appreciate y'all. We gonna keep doing this as long as we can. If y'all keep pulling up, we're gonna keep going. Pause. That's crazy. I would like to, so any thoughts on Zion playing late with a 40-point lead? What y'all think about that?
I think some of the shit they do is kind of funny. I don't have no problem with him getting that cardio. Chris, shout out to Chris, man. You know, I don't have no problem with him getting that cardio in. You know, I think some of the rotations is interesting on a regular basis. So tonight, if you Zion, I don't really think you got the luxury to just go sit down, man, because I don't know what you did on your off day. So just go ahead. It don't hurt you to just get the laps in. You know what I'm saying? Get the cardio in. And, you know, just I think Zion had like, shit, he might have had like 4 points in the fourth. He might have took like three shots, really. Like they made a concerted effort to kind of freeze him out. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. What about you, Ross?
No, I don't either. I mean, how much did he really play in the fourth?
I think 30 minutes total or something. No, he subbed out of like the 8-minute mark, right?
Played 30 minutes total. He played more minutes than any other starter.
Yeah.
Look, if you just gave him a night off.
Right.
Okay. I mean, if he had just played against the Timberwolves, I might have a different response. If we were on the second night of a back-to-back, I might have a different response, but I think the more Zion plays, the better. I mean, if we're not dealing with any kind of injury situation, I think he's still playing his way back into shape a little bit. And look, he said as much in the press conference, whatever that was last week at some point, that, I mean, I don't forget how he worded it, something like, I know I'm not where I need to be yet or something like that. Well, the only way you're going to get to wherever you think you need to be is by playing. Just because we're up 30 or something like, it's, you know, you're now into that kind of quote unquote mid season where they're just not doing a lot of practicing. Certainly not doing a lot of conditioning. I mean, your conditioning is coming from games. So I got no issue with it. If he's just not going to play the second night of back to backs, like, then yeah, he should be really penciled in for 30 minutes a night, no matter what.
This is my problem in the 30 minutes a night. In the 30 minutes, you can't get out rebounded by Herb, Brandon, Hulk, Najee, like Jeremiah Robinson Earl, like, dog, in 30 minutes, he still had 3 rebounds.
Zion did?
Yes, that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable, bro. You can't.
I think there's a couple of like hard truths that me personally, I was looking at some Joel Embiid, like, I didn't realize Joel Embiid played so few games the first few years. Like, it's crazy. Dude. Joel Embiid missed his first 2 seasons totally. I don't think Zion ever going to be a double-digit rebound dude. And I think defensively, he's so out of position so many times as far as, like, he's a forward that doesn't really defend forwards in the paint. So he's not around it enough. And I think he's – I think him being 6'6 really comes into play – when you look at where he's defending and the fact that he's not like actively crashing the boards a lot. So I think he's not going to always be like a 5'7", 8 at the most rebound guy. And that's going to be with offensive boards, I would think, in my opinion.
Bro, the motherfucker had 3 rebounds. I'm not being negative. I'm reading you the fucking box score. The motherfucker had 3 rebounds.
Is it a little talking about? So look, I agree in general with what Chaz is saying. And I think I want to say I said this at some point earlier in the year when Justin asked if we thought Zion could average a triple-double or something crazy. And I think my response was no, because he's never getting 3 rebounds. He's not a high volume rebounder as is, but I do think tonight it's a little unfair because of the way the Kings play, the type of players he's guarding. Obviously, you know, he's spending most of his time on Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray, who are guys that are just, I mean, really not coming into the, like barely getting inside the 3-point arc. So I kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt tonight. But in general, I would like to, it's not just him either. In general, I would like to see a more concerted effort from the Pelicans long-term on the defensive glass. Like we've said this for a while. I think Herb could do a better job of crashing the glass. I think Brandon could do a better job of crashing the defensive glass. But I mean, tonight, look, we rebounded the ball pretty well tonight. Anytime you play the Kings, I think it's going to be, I mean, it sucks, but it's really going to be incumbent upon JV to lead the charge on the glass just because of the way they play. I mean, it, you know, styles make fights, and I think there's certain nights where like JV's, you know, JV and maybe one of the guards is going to have to lead, kind of lead the push on rebounding. So I want to give Zion a pass tonight just because, I mean, Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes just barely go inside the damn 3-point.
Yes, I want him to jump through JV to get a rebound. I do. Yes, I want him to fucking do that.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying like they talking about Zion, a point guard at heart. Okay, if he's a point guard at heart, what is he on the court? I don't give a fuck about his heart. We talking about 3 rebounds. I'm not asking him to get 12. You know what I'm saying? But 3 is egregious. There was a play tonight where Hawk was matched up on JaVale McGee, son, underneath the rim, and Zion was standing at the free throw line watching him. He ain't gonna help that man. He ain't gonna help that man box him out of nothing. And I'm just standing there like, that's crazy.
Yeah, bro. I think. Man, even with victories, it's always good to have something to take away that you can work on because, again, in my opinion, everything that could go right for the Pelicans went right tonight. This is an outlier game, right? But I'll say a lot of shit what people say with the Barkley comparisons. Fam, that was about 25, 30 years ago. You've gone through 3 or 4 different types of fucking NBA basketball. Since then, Barkley played a lot closer to the rim. Barkley was not just any regular MVP type motherfucker. Barkley had a run when he was probably like a top 3 player in the NBA. Like, we got to put things in context. Like, it is just...
We got to stop comparing that man to Charles Barkley too.
Like, yeah, it's like, bro, is the dude a 6'6", like, less... defensively talented Shaq, and that's fine, but motherfucker should at least be able to get you 6-7 rebounds consistently. I can't say tonight the outlier. I do think it had a lot to do with his defense and him contesting 3-point shots because you run yourself out of the play. I don't, you know, but he should at least be getting 5, 6, 7. Like, he should be consistently in that range, in my opinion.
You're talking about defensive rebound. I mean, he probably averages 6.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, defensive rebound. Yeah.
Can we talk about Herb, dog? We kind of like talked about him as a tandem with Dyson, but like we kind of glossed over Herb individually. Herb tonight, 18 points, 7 rebounds, a point guard at heart, 4 assists. He was 1 for 2 from the 3-point line, shot 4 free throws made, 2, and he had 2 blocks. I tweeted this. I don't know how you rank or where you rank Herb as far as, like, you know, where he ranks as an NBA player, top 50, whatever. But it don't really matter, bro, because Herb a gamer, and he's whatever the situation calls for, he's gonna be better than the situation. And like, you've just been seeing
it. Hey, we got Knapsack.
I just wanted to say hello. I heard a couple of motherfuckers, and I'm excited about the win tonight. Who I heard y'all's Dyson Herb starting lineup. That was some good talking right there.
Look, I'll jump back in, Lito, to where you were asking about Herb. I look, since he came back from the knee injury or whatever, you know, since he missed those couple games, he's played great. These four games he's come back, he's played great. And so, and this is what I mean. This is why I get going back. I hate to keep going back to this Timberwolves thing, but this is why I get frustrated, because I think you just don't know what you don't know. And that's been the issue with this team for 4 years, right? We don't know what lineups work. We don't know if Brandon and Zion can play together. We don't know if Herb's the right fit, or maybe if it's Trey with the start. We don't know. And so you get a small sample size like this, and maybe Herb's a different player when he doesn't have to expend every single ounce of energy chasing around the other team's best player every time he's on the court. Maybe he's a little bit of a different offensive player whenever he's got a kind of a secondary or even a maybe even an equal player defensively and Dyson out there with him. He can do more things offensively. And so I just need to see a little more. But Herb has played really, really well these four games. Like really, really, really well. And I've seen just a little something different from him on offense. And I don't know what to attribute it to just yet, because we just don't have a big enough sample size with that five-man group of Dyson, Herb, B.I., Zion, and JV. I really hope we don't sit anybody for the next week or two, because that lineup looks really dangerous to me.
I think, man, I attribute a lot of I'll attribute a great deal of what we're seeing to life without CJ. You know what I'm saying? I think you see more shot distribution going around. I just think, man, it's just I think you're going to get to a point where you got to trim the fat with this team, because it's so many people that deserve the minutes, like from what we're seeing so far. And I don't know if there's going to be a ton of realism in the front office. But it's just this is a real DF comment. This motherfucker here, I gotta kick him out. This motherfucker said Brandon Ingram and KD both got zero rings.
It's okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Can we talk about something? I don't know if you have talked about this yet, but Cody Zeller went 4-7 from the field tonight.
Let's talk about future All-Star reserve Cody Zeller. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Let's talk because, about all the time.
Look, I was following online, and I think in the second quarter did he come in? I think he was pretty productive. Maybe it was late first, but I mean, dude, 9 rebounds, 3 offensive, 9 points plus 12. Like, I know we kind of like joke about it, but like that's productive minutes. Like, he played 23 minutes tonight. Those are productive minutes.
Don't leave out the 2 assists. Don't do that.
And look, they play through. I once again, I haven't really watched much, but they usually play through him when he's on the floor. He's making the right decisions. So I don't know what y'all saw from him tonight. But once again, if you just randomly look at the box score, Cody Zeller gets 23 minutes tonight, 4 of 7 from the field, 9 points, and he's a plus 12.
I think his activity was incredible all night. I think, you know, I saw a lot of what I saw when he stormed the beach in Normandy. I just saw that guy. I saw that same dog mentality. From the veteran there. And but nah, yo, you love a guy like Najee, guy like Zeller, dudes who like, yo, when their numbers call, you're gonna go out there, do your job. You know what I'm saying? It comes from a winning organization in Miami, professional player, and just
it's prison Mike. It's old, prison bro. Mike with Cody Zelikin, the white Bill Russell is insane.
Oh my god, like, yeah, yo, that's kind of that's crazy.
What's that wild is he's not even that old.
Yeah, he just looked. Yeah, he got funny. That.
He's like 31, bro.
He got that coal mine face and hair.
Hey, bro. Cody, I call him Father Tom. Dog, he the dude. You know what Cody Zeller looked like to me? Cody Zeller looked like the dude when like your run is up, when you pass your prime. He the dude who come tap you on your shoulder and be like, "I'm sitting right here."
Like a baseball manager for a Prohibition Yankees team, like this.
A boy Cody ate you like milk.
Get Mickey Mantle out there. Tell him, come talk to me. He like, bro, he balled out tonight.
Cody Zeller can hoop. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Sorry, Lee.
Justin, you're here, question. Dyson and Dyson and Herb have been causing hell for opposing teams, right?
Yeah.
When it's time for CJ to come back, who are you taking out of the lineup?
It's Dyson. It's got to be Dyson. I think Dyson's a good player. That's not a shot at Dyson, but I think Dyson in the second unit would be interesting. But like Herb Jones, once again, like 7-9 from the field, 3-4 free throw, 1-2. He's just such a good player. 2 blocks. Do y'all think Dyson should be starting?
You was about to say something nice.
No, what's interesting though is like Herb and Dyson together in the same unit, I thought would actually be a problem, but they actually play really well together, especially defensively. Like, I love that you can match up Herb or Dyson on like a big and they can just switch off, right? And like it kind of caused a little chaos and a little. I haven't watched the second tonight, I'm about to put it on, but I'm just thinking, like, for me, Herb Jones is an all-NBA defender and he's already the better overall offensive player, so it's pretty an easy call for me.
All right, let me ask you this: since you didn't get a part of this question either, what has happened to Herb Jones offensively?
He puts the work in.
He's been working. But like, what is it now that you're seeing? I know you didn't see the game, but like,
do y'all think it's the contract?
You mean he's extra motivated by the money?
No, he got paid.
I think
more confidence wise, like he's just more confident in himself. I'm not saying he wasn't a confident player before, but like he kind of got his bag. Like, I think that might have played into a little bit of just he looks more confident.
Some of this with Herb last season, though. Like, I think you had a game with Herb. Herb dropped like 30 something points in that Memphis game, and like, you've not talked about
enough, Chaz. He got hurt early on,
yeah,
in the year, right, with the knee. Didn't he get COVID? Did he get COVID or no?
This year?
Last year. I'm talking about last year when he had that really bad stretch and everyone was like,
Herb Jones. I don't remember.
I can tell you what happened. James Borrego. James Borrego happened.
That's what happened. I did see somebody say that he wasn't in the corner.
We've been saying for 2 years of Herb, what is the worst thing you can do with him offensively?
Stick him in the corner. That's the worst thing
you can do with him. What has he not been doing for these last? I mean, I hate to say it, since Borrego took over as the head coach that one game, and we actually played basketball the way it's supposed to be played, and some of the other things we've been doing, the ball is moving. Herb Jones is a very high IQ player. He knows where to be. He knows how to cut. It's not rocket science. I think that what happened is we started playing a brand of basketball that suits a high IQ player on offense. So yeah, he's getting easier buckets. He knows he sets great screens. He does some things off the ball that not nobody else, but a lot of the guys on the team don't do. It's a simple answer for me.
Do y'all think that Willie Green had a bit of a come to Jesus moment seeing how the team responded after Borrego, you know?
Hey, can I say something? Because I've been at the last couple shoot arounds, I've been at the last couple practices, and I've never seen, and I'm not saying this, but Willie and Borrego have spent a lot of time together talking to players together. I mean, like, Willie Borrego's talking to players, and Willie's right next to him. I didn't really see that much early on, so I do think that there has been a little bit of an adjustment, Chaz. That's a really good observation. I'm guessing you talked about this, Lito, but Jonas Valanciunas led the team in assists.
Actually, I didn't. I did not mention that.
Damn. 7 assists.
Damn! Look at mine. For real? I did. I'm tripping.
He did.
He was on triple double alert.
Has he ever had one? Wow, that's impressive.
We said that. Look, tonight's a little different, but and I think we said this at some point last week when somebody was when they were sending 2 to Jonas. I was about to say double teaming Jonas. Ooh, caught myself. See, that's how you know we're getting better. We're getting better.
But you said it though, but it's still not good enough for Chad.
I wanted you to know that I caught myself before I said it the first time. I think the one thing that he has added to his game this year versus last year, he has passed the ball out of those situations when they send 2 so much better. Last year, Justin, I mean, you and I went to a handful of games where I swear to God he turned the ball over 3 or 4 times when they would send 2 or if they caught him kind of close to the baseline and a guard would come over. He's gotten so much better this year. It's one of the things I've noticed about his game that it seems like he's really, really improved at. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's him just being more aware of it. I don't know if it's him getting rid of the ball earlier. I don't have an answer, but it's just something that I think he's really, really improved at.
Yo, and Lita, I'm sorry, but Jonas Valanciunas, I heard you and Chaz talking about this a little bit when I was in the car watching y'all, but three blocks again tonight?
What you want? How you want it? Jonas is, yeah, hey, dog, listen.
Yo, Lito,
that was crazy.
Are you?
That was crazy. Yeah,
if I were to say that, the stream would have ended. The stream would have ended.
I was talking about defense. My bad. All right, my fault. That was crazy. Hey, yeah. Jermaine, I'm gonna watch the film. I'm gonna get better. Listen, I think that and I told Chaz and Ross this. I think Jonas has 22 blocks this month.
I'm looking for you right now. It is 21 in this heat.
21?
21 blocks in this heat.
21. And listen, Chad, my bad.
No, go ahead.
The thing about Jonas is Jonas shot his 3-point last month. He shot 3 threes a game. This month, he's only shooting it's like 1.3 or some shit.
Which I don't like necessarily. I know Ross, I think you kind of agree with that too. Well, I wish he'd shoot a little more.
Jonas?
Yeah, like the top of the key three. That corner three he took a couple games ago was awful. Late in the game against whoever we lost to. Who did we lose to on Saturday? The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves.
He took a really bad corner three.
That might have been a byproduct of trying to manufacture more threes, though. Because I think sometimes with guys do, like, you see, like, cat shooting threes, or you see even, yeah, like, Rudy took a corner three as well. You start to mimic some of the shit like you see other guys do. And JB was cooking that game. That probably was a bad shot, but he was cooking. I attribute JV's defense also to him getting fed the rock on offense. Nope. You know, and I think, unfortunately, I think a lot of that has to do with CJ being out of the lineup. So I think once everyone is healthy, if it ever happens, you run into a couple of issues to where there's an overflow in certain areas, and especially in that restricted area, there's going to be a real overflow. So I just wonder how you remedy that.
Can I throw one stat at you before? Yeah. So yeah. JV had three or more blocks on a game 5 times last year. He's already had 4 this year, three or more blocks on a game.
Beating the rock, you, man.
Inclusiveness is the best way to get top tier performance out of anybody, bro. Like you want them to feel like they're part of the game plan. Like, get them involved. I got a question for y'all. At what point, I want to do a show about this anyway, but at what point do we talk about a JV contract extension?
We don't just because of the financial situation the team is in. Like, unfortunately, it's just like an unfortunate reality. I got no problem with JD coming back next year. An extension, I mean, unless the number's right, it just has nothing to do with JD, in my opinion. It really does.
Yeah, I think of Trey.
Not just Trey. I think it's going to come down to how far this team goes this year. And name brand, like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what it's going to come down to, because I don't know if you can justify saying I'm well into the tax for JV.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the problem. And I also think that once CJ comes back, you'll see JV neutralize a bit more, because at that point, to me, where this team's advantages lie, you see a strange, maybe very controversial pecking order. And I think you see a less dedicated defensive JV. Because at that point, it's insulting, you know, with JV not getting the rock when he's so, you know, skilled at that position. And you're such an advanced creator. I think is, I still do that trade. Shit, you do that trade. You got Mark Williams, 15. Mark Williams, you got to watch other teams. Motherfucker's crazy.
I'm with y'all. Appreciate y'all. Good seeing y'all. Y'all take care.
Yo, Justin, before you go, before you go, let me give you this JV stat that's crazy. Oh, okay. We talk about rest, like we talk about guys resting and shit. So listen, on 0 days rest, Briones, which has been two games. He's averaging 24 points, 12 rebounds, and he's averaging 3 blocks on 0 days rest. When you give him a day of rest,
That's because Zion's not playing in those back to backs.
Well, I mean,
just as a heads up,
that's a good point.
That's De'Aaron Fox playing a back to back on an ankle. All right, see y'all later.
Jose was back tonight, y'all. Y'all was happy to see Jose. What you think about his game? Did he add anything? You feel like to the team, like, you know?
Nah, I don't think so. I think, man, it's like when you order a ribeye and they got a bunch of like garnish on it and shit. You like, look, just give me the steak. I don't need the extra. You know, I think I just don't really see how I can't justify giving. And Matt Ryan didn't play as well, so I think that's something that you start to see more of in the future. That's like a problem because of his injury. But man, I just dog. I cannot think of what Jose adds to a healthy Pelicans or the Pelicans as is right now. I can't see it.
It's a very it's the kind of the same thing I was saying about Najee last week. Is you're looking at guys that are going to contribute maybe once a week, you know, in a game where you need kind of a shot of life off the bench, or you know, you get yourself in a little hole early and you need some energy, or you know, the other team's point guard has outplayed us for some reason, and you kind of need a pest to come in there and just do something. I don't see him as some kind of like integral piece to what you're trying to do long term. I mean, can he come in and make a difference one out of every three or four games by giving you 6-8 minutes of high energy, maybe picking up somebody else's point guard, you know, full length of the court for a few minutes here and there? Sure. But you got to remember, you're really talking about a 9th, 10th, maybe 11th man.
Should be.
On a roster. But what he will be on this team when healthy. You're talking about a 10th, 11th guy. It's important to kind of temper expectations. I mean, people obviously like Jose a lot because of the energy and some of the things he does off the court and all that good stuff. But I think when you really take a good look at the basketball side of it, you're talking about a guy who should play, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10 minutes a game or something like that. So, you know, happy to see him back, kind of the same as I was for Najee, but I'm not going to overreact.
Yeah, I think Jose about 6. Oh, my bad, Lino, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was saying, I think, like, to Ross's part, I think Jose is more of like an irritant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you put him out there, like, you saw him tonight, you know, in spot minutes against Fox. And I'm really trying to think of like a bunch of 6'1", 6'2" guards that he would really be able to neutralize or like give. I think 5 minutes at a time, you know, a couple minutes during a quarter at a time, he could contribute. I don't think it's enough for you to like say, I'm going to take 5 minutes from this person or 5 minutes from that person. I think you just, you know, if he was like a bona fide point guard, fringe starter type point guard, I think it would be a different discussion. But him being like a fringe, like role player, bench guy, I don't see the point in it. I think you want to keep everybody getting minutes. You want to keep them dudes as confident as possible, in my estimate.
I agree. Man, one thing we didn't mention tonight, Matt Ryan got hurt last game. And man, they didn't miss him tonight, but I'm hoping that 10 to 14 days is not full 14, because you definitely gonna miss his shooting. I guess we gotta holler at Najee. Najee tonight, 11.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Najee's been playing very well since Najee came back from injury. He's been shooting the ball really well. Didn't shoot the ball great tonight, 1-for-5 for 3, but prior to, he's been making that corner three, he's been living there. How you been feeling about Najee's performance, Ross?
Yeah. He did. I think it was last game or the game before. He did shoot it really well. No, look, I'm okay with Najee. Look, to a certain extent, you have to think about things when this team is going to be fully healthy, right? And I think of Najee as like a step above what I think of Jose. Like Jose for me is totally off script. Like you don't need to pencil minutes in for him on a nightly basis.
Right.
It's if the game dictates that you think his minutes would be useful, you just plug him in and check and adjust. I don't think of Najee in that same way, but there's nights, and you saw that, I think not his first night, but that second game against Dallas, where the team feels Najee's energy. And that's when he's most useful. I mean, like Chad said earlier, everything went right tonight. Like everything. There's not really like a negative to take away. So yeah, Najee played great. when he's playing in transition, doing some of the chaotic stuff he does defensively and kind of hanging out in the corner and hitting that shot, Najee's a useful player. When Najee starts over dribbling and doing some of those things, I think he can tend to look bad on offense. So look, he's a useful role player. I like Najee. I think to the extent that corner three can continue to get a little more consistent, you know, now you're talking about a really useful bench player.
Shout out to Chung, man. Run up the comments. We here as long as y'all here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all keep piling in. We working. Go ahead. You muted. You, Chaz, you're muted.
Yeah, my bad. I was saying, what up, Lex? How you doing? I was saying, what up, thinking Lex? About this the other day, man, and I said it earlier in this broadcast. The thing that really bothers me or troubles me with the Pelicans is when I look at the schedule and I'm like, ooh, that's tough. It's like you get to a point where you tired of considering other teams as like the tough team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you looking at this Kings game, you're like, well, they tired. If things go right, you know, Fox still got the ankle. And that's the point that still tells me, like, yo, we ain't well. I don't think we the favorite going into most matchups right now. And, man, even, like, I thought, and this was a blowout, and I thought Brandon and Zion played phenomenally offensively, but – man, I just be seeing motherfuckers get combined 80 points, like certain duos. And yeah. You're just like, I still need to see that. Like, I need to see that combined 75, combined 80. Like, I need to see that.
I just want to work through some comments real quick. So, like, mm-hmm. like, no, he's not a true point guard. At all. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. But he's not a true point guard. He's not very good offensively. This is an interesting comment for me because I wholeheartedly disagree. The entire rotation should not be situational every game. We just talked about how I think scheduling in enough minutes for lineups that we know work is super important. There are certain guys that I think sit outside of that rotation. That it's an important concept to understand that most NBA teams I think employ. Like, yes, there are minutes for Jose if shit looks like that type of player would be useful, but you certainly don't want to do that to the detriment of, like, you know, imagine we're fully healthy. This lineup of Herb, Dyson, Brandon, Zion, JV, like you're not going to take, like those minutes need to be employed every single game, right? When Trey comes back, there's going to be lineups that we know fit Trey. So, you know, I get nervous. People get really excited about seeing certain things and they just kind of want it to be all chaos. Like, it can't be all chaos. An NBA game cannot be all chaos. There has to be some scheduled things in there that you know work.
Yeah. How y'all feel about this comment?
My bad.
You good?
I think so. I think against good teams, and when people make adjustments, you really need a lot of IQ out there. Like, if you look at what's happening with the Pelicans right now, you got but as good as Dyson isn't a point guard, right? You got Dyson starting at the one, and you don't have a lot of skilled facilitators. As far when I say facilitating, I mean like guys who can handle the rock, put the ball on the floor, you know, elite first steps. You don't have a ton of that in the starting lineup, and you don't have a ton of IQ in the starting lineup. That's another reason why lineups really can't be situational, because you can't ask certain dudes to play a different role every night because they just don't have the wherewithal to do that. I think they absolutely need a real point guard, a person who can get to the rim, can organize the offense. Even if it's a person who it's like a spot starter that you stagger with that first unit sometimes when you can't get things organized. I was a big fan of like Corey Joseph just because of the IQ coming from that Spurs organization, played the leadership role with the Pistons last season, can knock down a three, can facilitate in the half court. I think Jose is more of like a combo guard, like, you know, more of a, I think his first instinct is, you know, scoring, you know what I'm saying? And everything else is kind of second nature.
I agree. And listen, Lex, Jose, I'm sure, is a nice man. He's a good person, a child of God, seems like an incredible dad. But at the very least, he's probably the 9th or 10th best player on the team, maybe. Could be 11th at highest, depending on the roster. Because if I look down the, I look up and down the roster, right? Obviously, Brandon is Zion, but obviously Herb and Trey. Then obviously Dyson, right? Then JV, then Hawk. You know, like yes. Thank you.
Back to that point guard question, or you know, whatever the word that you facilitate, whatever the word is. You know, and I'm not comparing us to that team, but I go back and think about that Lakers team that won in the bubble. Like, who did they go get to come off the bench? Rondo, right? Because that was the year they went true LeBron point guard. Yeah. I don't even remember. And so it still matters late in games, second units and everything, to have somebody that could just organize things and really facilitate. And I just wanted to point out that example because it was one where a team that won or had aspirations of winning still went and found a spot for a player like that.
I see pure point guard in the chat a lot. And that shit don't exist no more. It ain't no pure, like that shit died with Chris Paul game. Like there is no, every point guard is basically shoot first now. Like the game is changed. It's more of a like you see Giannis being the point guard in Milwaukee, right? Even though Dame is quote unquote the point guard, Giannis is probably leading that team in assists. You see like Steph is not leading that team in assists. There's
go look at who he played tonight. I mean, Fox is technically a point guard, but he's more clearly more of a scoring guard. Sabonis probably leads the team in assists.
Yeah, he does. He does.
The Nuggets, same thing. I mean, Jamal Murray's hurt right now, but clearly Jokic is the point guard. You get a lot of there. I mean, I'd have to really sit and think about it. I don't know how many, like, in the way that people in the chat are referring to, like, true point guard. I don't know how many of those guys there are in the NBA anymore. I really don't. You make a really good point. Like, it's very few and far betweens. The Jason Kidds, Chris Pauls, those guys are –
So look, that's a good point. But to the point we making, he's basically kind of getting phased out of their lineup because they letting Chet basically
do his thing.
Yeah, Chet is kind of facilitating them. Go ahead, Chaz.
I think when you say point guard, you're talking more about skill sets, not necessarily the position, right? So I think we all talking about point guards for a skill set. You need a person that can control the offense, play at pace, knows when to do things. You need a high IQ guy who can get to the line, knows time and situation on the court, knows the other team's foul number, knows who's in the bonus, stuff like that. Somebody said Dragic. Dragic, like a few years ago, Dragic would have been ideal. Ricky Rubio is another example. You know, Elfrid Payton in his day was more of a traditional point guard. They still got a couple of them out there, but the game is so like fast paced now to where like that you need those dudes. You don't necessarily need those dudes to be scorers on this team when healthy, but you do need, man, you really need a brain out there. Not saying dudes don't have brain. I'm just saying that you need a guy who's potentially the smartest person on the court at any given time on this roster. And you see situations where, and I believe now he's obviously better than.
Shout out to Big Mads, man. Listen, let me tell you. So here's what happened, man. I looked at it and I saw Dyson play basketball. It's not a knock to Jose, but I saw Dyson play and I thought about it and I was like, yeah, man, I changed my mind. Like, I feel like he's a better basketball player than Jose. Bro, Jose is five. Y'all trying to make me. I'm not gonna diss Jose.
Don't do it.
Jose is an adequate basketball player if he's the ninth man on the roster. I don't know. It seems like y'all want to start Jose and make him this underdog story. Bro, I'm so happy Jose got a contract. I hope he continues to be paid in the NBA game. Dyson Daniels is a better basketball player than Jose, and I don't really even know why we doing this. Halliburton is probably the answer.
Yeah, Halliburton, a dog. But, it's like, bro, you need people that do more than one thing. That's that Yaki juice. But yeah, you need people that do more.
That was crazy.
For Yaki juice, I apologize for that. You need like guys can rebound. He can defend. He can get you probably a good 7-8 points. If Jose isn't scoring, yes, he doesn't have like an elite handle. He doesn't have an elite first step. He's not an elite shooter. And his size would make him a liability on the court. You know what I'm saying? It's not like something. Ricky Rubio is taking like some time off on like some mental health shit. But Ricky Rubio had a lot of injuries. But Ricky Rubio is an incredibly intelligent player. Schroeder would have been perfect.
That's a good answer.
Schroeder would have been perfect. That dude would have been perfect, bro. But because if you think about it though, if you really taking minutes away from Jordan Hawkins
to play Jose,
and to what end? Like, so you can run the pick and roll with Jose? Who's guarding Jose in the pick and roll? I don't know.
I just feel like we asking a lot about
Everlasting Hitman. Rest in peace, Everlasting Hitman. Shout out to the West Bank. He said Yaki Juice.
I feel like we just asking a lot. We asking a lot from Jose, man. And I think he's a child of God. Good father, mm-hmm. Probably the coach's kid.
Lunch bell guy, yeah. And you can't make the when you get hurt and other motherfuckers step on the court and they start shining, that's the name of the game. Like, that's the name of the game. You can't make the club in the tub. Like, you know what I'm saying? You see it happen all the time. Like, motherfucker get hurt, motherfucker step into the situation, and you gotta take your spot back. You saw it with Kyra. That's probably why you saw Jose rushing to get back. He saw how Hawkins and them was playing. He was like, hold up, this could happen to me. And it happens, man. Dan Dickow was good for a little while. Then Speedy Claxton came. You had to get Dan up out of here.
Hey, you my dog, Miles. We good. We good, bro. I was just answering the question. You know his love. I think this is a good point also. And I think that the Pelicans are starting to do this. And shout out to Five, because he said this, he says this a lot. Like, what's the identity of the team? Who are you? Like, what do you do when Zion is not there, when Brandon is not there? Like, make sure you maintain the same integrity of basketball you've been playing. And I feel like they kind of starting to get there. And, I don't know if it's the Borrego effect or Willie maturing as a coach, but or just the players being comfortable in their role too. Like, I just think they're starting to get there. How y'all feel about the Pels' identity? And shout out to Alexa, man. She's been asking some bomb-ass questions.
You want to go, Ross?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an interesting question for me because I don't know exactly what, I don't have a big enough sample size, right? And the lineups changed so much. Like, if this was the five-man unit that I knew we were going with or that was going to play the majority of the games, okay, well, I think they're building an identity that I can sort of wrap my head around a little bit. I think, you know, since that game, Borrego took over, we've more consistently played a style of basketball that lends itself to having an identity, not just being sort of ISO, hey, you take it, me take it. I mean, if we play with the type of energy we played with against Dallas that second game and tonight defensively, I think you can build a defensive identity off of that. But until I see something for, you know, a 10, 12, 15 game stretch, it's hard to just say, like, you know, oh yeah, our identity, we're going to shoot 45% from three and we're going to, you know, we're going to steal the ball. You know, we're going to turn the other team over a million times and everything's going to look great. Like, cause we could come out the next game and get all these same shots and miss them. Like, yeah, I mean, Brandon's probably never gone 5 of 5 from three in his life. So, and it's not his fault. I mean, I hope he does. I'm just saying, you're not going to shoot it this well every night. And so our identity has to be built upon something. Is it playing basketball the right way? Is it ball movement? Is it defensive identity? Is it energy? What is it? I don't feel comfortable. Go ahead, Chess. I don't feel comfortable enough after, you know, kind of 4 games of sample size to sort of throw my hat in any of those buckets yet.
And I think to your point, it's like, this isn't the final version of this team. Again, like, CJ is not here, Trey's not here, so you're going to see a lot of guys get, you know, reduced roles. This isn't even the final version of Zion. This is probably like beta Zion right now. 60%. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's impressive, but it's like, for what it is, but it's like, this dude clearly ain't, you know, who he supposed to be just yet. And the thing that annoys the fuck out of me is that they're going to be able, like, no matter how the season ends, they're going to be able to justify this as another, oh, well, we were just gathering information. And it's like, no, you need to make some permanent decisions, like, moving forward. Like, what the fuck are we doing? We can't keep doing this because if CJ comes back to the lineup, to answer bro question, I don't think we see Trey for another 2 weeks. Then you got to get back into basketball shape. So maybe 2-3 weeks. And then you got to ask, all right, who minutes you taking? Maybe Matt Ryan never returns to the lineup. If Trey is coming back, is Matt Ryan still out when Trey comes back? You might not see Matt Ryan no more. Or you know, some nights you're not going to see Trey comes back around December 15th. Okay.
I mean, my opinion, and I'm not basing this in any, like, I don't have some kind of inside knowledge, but just based on the timeline I said before the season, the videos, the stuff we've been hearing, like, I don't think you really see a Trey that is what we're going to see long term until after the new year. I mean, you're talking about a month. I mean, I think expecting anything, I mean, we're 20 games in or 15 games in. You got guys that are now, you know, sort of in shape and are rocking and rolling. I don't think you're going to see a Trey that's going to change your lineups or change anything noteworthy until after the new year.
I talked to Trey and I talked to Matt and it seems like he ahead of schedule, but I'm agreeing with y'all. I agree. I think probably after New Year, because what's the point right now? It makes no sense to really rush him back. Talk about,
but he's gonna play, to your point. Yeah. I think what you're saying is but even if he comes, let's just say he comes back December 15th, I mean, you're looking at least 2 weeks, but in reality, you're looking at a month, because he had no preseason, no training camp. It's not like you're talking about a situation like CJ, right, where he played 10 games, got hurt, you know, he's going to miss 10 games and come back. I mean, Trey hasn't played with the team. I mean, it's going to take him off.
It's been a while. It's been a little while.
Hey, y'all hit that like button. And look, let me say this. I feel what y'all saying in the chat. I think you can't account for Jose's energy. Like, sometimes he brings something to a game that you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a wild card, some random shit. And he does affect the game in other ways. He's just an irritant, like Chaz says. So, I mean, you can never have enough irritants on your team. I mean, shit, look at, you know, Draymond, Marcus Smart, people like that. Like, you really cannot have enough of those guys on your team. But man, I think we about to get out of here. If y'all good, man, Lala, you go ahead and hit the drop.
Appreciate
in everybody. The NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back.
This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours.